We bow my hallowed presence, dear Father, once again to render thanks and praise to Thee for Thy goodness to us. We continue to thank Thee for the privilege of attending this convention. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us. And now as we further wait before Thee, the service of our dear brother Barrett, we would ask Thy special blessing upon him. May his words be edifying, helpful to us as we strive to serve Thee more acceptably. We ask for receptive hearts, a greater measure of Thy Spirit, that indeed we might receive the lessons that are here in store for us. We bring before Thee Thy people, wherever they might be. Bless them all, we ask. Those who might have liked to attend this convention and were not able, for reasons Thou knowest best. But again, we ask Thy blessing upon the further services of the day, and especially upon the meeting to follow. We ask these things with forgiveness of our sins and shortcomings. Through Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dunn. We're happy, friends, that you are enjoying yourself at the convention and have come prepared and armed in the Spirit of the Lord to make your individual contribution in your association and fellowship around the values of truth. And it's up to each of us what we get from a convention and what we put into it. And this is the same for the brethren that serve us. And we appreciate the effort that you are doing to mold us together in the Spirit of the Lord and in the truth that we have once enjoyed and have been familiar to us. Well, we have studied St. Paul today. We learned about him. We learned about St. Jude, the lesson he brought. We're going to study another saint, a saint of the Old Testament time, holy men of old. And Abraham was a saint of God before the Christian era. He was a holy man. So we have appreciated Abraham from the distant past, and Brother Brad is going to bring us up to date and relate some of those facets of his life of this wonderful man of God, and then again to relate these to our own personal lives. Again, that's the value, isn't it, of the truths that we are learning. So Brother Barrett, please.
Dear brethren, I don't know whether you know how it feels to be getting around 90 and over, but I must say I haven't got the pep I used to have. But I want to draw your attention to a wonderful figure. You know, you and I are of the household of faith, not the household of works. Faith is important to us, very important. And Abraham is brought to our attention as a wonderful example of God's dealings with him to bring him to a point where he could offer his only son. Now, many of you here today are parents. Have you ever asked yourself, could I have done what Abraham did? I wonder. God doesn't ask us to do that. But he's given us Abraham as a wonderful picture of how God gradually worked on Abraham. It took nearly 90 years before Abraham could offer his son on the altar. So, the importance we cannot overestimate the importance of faith. Soon it'll be works. Faith age is soon going to be completely done. It'll be works. So you and I, dear friends, wherever we think we're going to be, it's by according to our faith be it unto us. Do you know that our justification depends upon our faith in it? We're justified by the blood of Christ, but through faith. You lose that faith, you've lost your justification. All this depends on faith. We walk by faith, we're justified by faith, We come to God in prayer by faith. It's useless for you and I to pray to God unless we have faith that he's hearing us, and that he will answer it too. These points we should remember. And furthermore, it's a growing faith and a living faith that we have to have. Not just the faith we had when we made the consecration. When Abraham was called out of his country, he had just enough faith to go. He picked up everything and he took his old father with him and he went to the land of Canaan. He had that much faith. Now God made a covenant with him. But God didn't say, take your son and sacrifice him. Not yet. I know circumstances forced Abraham and his wife into Egypt. Now, Abraham hadn't got too much faith in God then, so he said to Sarah, his wife, say you're my sister, otherwise they'll kill me just to get you. Say you're my sister. And you know, God gave Abraham a wonderful reboot. That old king showed him up. He got a wonderful reboot from that old heathen king. He said, why would you bring this terrible thing upon us? Abraham took the reboot, but it wasn't long before he had to go into another country. And the same thing happened again. And that old king rebuked him again. Then you remember the story. I'd better tell you where these verses are. All the life of Abraham, his genealogy is given the 11th chapter of Genesis, and from there on to the 25th, his own lifetime is given. I won't have time to read all these scriptures, but you'll remember them. I'll read some of them as we go. So the second time Abraham got rebuked. Now, there's another thing happened with Abraham, which is very wonderful. If we see our Lord's thought behind it. One day, you know, he'd been promised a seed, and that his seed would be to the millions. And through that seed, they would bless all the families of the earth. And he was Sarah, his wife. She was barren. Where was the seed coming from? So Abraham and Sarah did what many Bible students did. They wanted to help the Lord out a little. So Sarah said, you better take my maid. I'm never going to have any children. You take my maid. And there Ishmael was born. And oh, they were so pleased with this, with Ishmael. But God come to Abraham in a dream. He said, that isn't the seed. That isn't the seed. But one day Abraham was sitting under the shade of his trees, the tent burning, saw three strangers coming. Three strangers. They would have passed by, but he bowed and asked them to come in. And here we have a wonderful picture, dear friends, of the sisters' and the brothers' hospitality. Now that's one of the Christian graces, hospitality. Abraham wasn't going to let them strangers go off without giving them a good meal and having a talk with them. So they were persuaded by Abraham. And Abraham didn't say to Sarah, get up them old scraps and give him some to eat. Kill the fatty calf. Called his young men, said, kill the fatty calf. The best they got for special occasions. And they killed the fatty calf. It was brought in and they feasted on the fatty calf. Now one of those three men was our Lord Jesus, the Logos. The other two were angels. They'd come on a double purpose. One was to tell Sarah that she would have a child born of the free woman. And the other one was a more serious affair. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now Lot's, Abraham's nephew was in Sodom and Gomorrah. I want you to note, dear friends, what the scripture says. He sat in the gate. He was one of their judges. They had their courts of law at the gate of the city where they sat. And Lot sat in the gate. Now, our Lord, after the other two went to Sodom and Gomorrah, our Lord said, shall I keep from Abraham what I'm going to do? What was he going to do? God was going to destroy Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. If he had destroyed that without what went on afterwards, Abraham's faith in God would have been shaken terribly. You and I, dear friends, we know what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know why. Because it's corrupt. You know what that word Sodom has come down. Now in the Canadian courts, it's legalized. We'll go over this just point by point to see how God wonderfully, he did put nothing superfluous in the Bible. It's all for a purpose. So Abram said, would you destroy the city if there's 50 there? 50 righteous there? Our Lord said, no. Then Abram said, would you destroy this 40? He said, no. Just remember, dear friends, God would not have destroyed that city if there was 5 righteous in there. This gives you and I a wonderful thought of the time we're living in. That fire and brimstone cannot come down till the last member's gone beyond. Our Lord said that himself. He said the very day that Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone came down and destroyed the city. Well, anyway, Abraham jockeyed, as you might say, with the Lord here. And he found the Lord was righteous. God would not destroy that city if there was 5 or 10 or 5 righteous in it. Doesn't it give you and I confidence that this full trouble cannot come until the last member's gone beyond the veil? Now these two men, they went on. They went on to bring Lot out. And they were nice looking young men. And you can read the account of it. And they would have went on, but Lot begged them to come and stay. This is a method, dear friends, that all truth people should use. Lot constrained them to come in. Do you remember the two men walking to Emmaus? Our Lord went as though he'd go on. But they constrained him to come. Don't give no one a half an invitation, give a whole one. Constrain them to come. So these two men, they went in. And the hoodlums of Sodom and Gomorrah came after them. They wanted those two men. Lot said, take my two daughters. No, they want those two men. That is given for you and I, for this very time, to show how corrupt this earth is. You know, this church is marrying men. You should read your newspapers. See the signs where we just stand on this stream of time. God has given us this, that very story to strengthen our faith in him and his promises. Now these two women of Lot's two daughters, they could have brought their husbands with them. Here's another beautiful thought here. It's God's arrangement all the time. If you have friends and neighbors, if they're even partially believe this truth, they're going to get a blessing. They're going to get a protection. Anyone at all that helps those, the church, give them a cup of cold water, God is going to bless them. There's the evidence there. Their sweethearts could have come and their neighbors could have escaped this. Do you remember the Rahab the harlot? Do you know what the two spies said to her? Bring all your friends. Put that scarlet cord in the window and bring all your friends with you. Not many came. Some come. What a wonderful influence we must have upon our friends and neighbors. That God would bless them because of you and I. Doesn't this show us, dear friends, how we should walk so circumspectly? Now, God is looking on all the time. A year or so ago, I had a niece come out from England. And she wanted to visit her old uncle. Because I'm the last of the generation. So I took her to our study. She was rather an agnostic. So we were studying the sixth volume, the laws of the new creation, the principles by which we live. She saw that. She could understand that. A day or two after, I said something. So she said, Uncle, is that a Christian principle? She brought me up to time. Now, doesn't this show, dear friends, our very life? Everyone is looking at. Our neighbors, they're looking at. There's some of our neighbors we can't talk to, but we can live the truth. And that is what God is expecting of us, to live this truth. Now with Lot, he came out of Sodom, and his wife and the two daughters, and they hurried him on. But Lot's wife looked behind. And you know, this sulfur and salt come up and encased her. She lagged behind. But Lot was saved. Don't forget what our Lord said about Lot. He said, the day, so shall it be at this end, the day that Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone came down. There's many brethren think all the church is gone. There's many evidences to be fulfilled to show they're not gone. They're not fulfilled yet. That full-scale anarchy hasn't come. Another thought that our Lord gave was Noah going into the ark. And God shut the door, and it wasn't long before the floods came. There's another point, too, in the Tabernacle Shadows, where the burnt offering was put on the altar after the sacrifices were finished. The high priest changed his garments from the garments of sacrifice to the garments of glory and duty. And he killed the ram, the burnt offering. And fire came down and consumed it. Now that high priest was in his garments of glory and beauty before the fire comes. This is another proof, dear friends, that the church is still in the faith. And when all the people saw, they shouted and fell upon their faces. There's another little point here I want you to notice. That the burnt offering represents God's acceptance of what that offering that went before. That was burned, a whole burnt off. So we come to the time now when God would test Abraham. The scripture said God would tempt him. That's wrong. God tempts no man. The time had come when God was going to test Abraham right to the full. So God appeared to Abraham. He said, take your son, the one you love, not Ishmael. Take your son, the one you love, and go this 3 days' journey, and there offer him for a sacrifice. Now we must expect, dear friends, that Abraham talked to Sarah about this. That was Sarah's boy as well as Abraham's. They must have talked it over. And Sarah must have given him leave to go. It is the Lord. I can hear her saying, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And she sent Abraham off with the blessing. 3 days' journey. Why didn't God say, tomorrow morning, Abraham, take your son and offer him for sacrifice? I think I know, dear friends. God doesn't never ask you and I to do anything important unless we have time to consider it. Now, Abraham was like you and I, was fully consecrated. He said, yes, Lord, I will. But that wasn't enough. God gave him 3 days' journey to get there. Now, what was going on in Abraham's mind in that 3 days' journey? The Apostle Paul tells us just what went on in his mind. He said he reasoned. What a wonderful thought. Abraham reasoned that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. He come to the conclusion. And he went, as you know, and he built the altar, and he tied the lad upon the altar, and he raised the knife. Now I'm adding this, dear friends, that an angel, he raised that knife, and the angel caught his arm. It's enough. God said, now I know, Abraham, because you haven't withheld your son, your only one. Is there any brother or sister here feels that they could offer their son in a or daughter as a sacrifice? It was a hard test for Abraham. Very hard. It took all those years to bring him to that one condition. But you know, dear friends, if you have children, they are not yours. You don't own those children. When you made a consecration of your all, you gave them to the Lord too. You are stewards of those children. That is true. If you kept your children back, you didn't make a full consecration. You are stewards of those children. There's one brother here yesterday was telling me, 5 children, and they've all made a full consecration. God bless them. They've been stewards of God's children. When Moses became Pharaoh's daughter's son, his mother could have no more hold upon him, but she nursed him for 8 years. Before she turned him over to Pharaoh's daughter. That 8 years of children, dear friends, stuck in his mind. And when he was 40 years old, the scripture said, he was going, he would leave Pharaoh in his house. He could have been a mighty prince, but he took upon him that with the children of Israel, he come and with them. He thought he was ready to deliver them now. He had the ability. But it wasn't God's time. There's one other thing Moses had to learn. It took him 40 years to learn the arts of the Egyptians. He was a great general. And now he could deliver the children of Israel. He had 40 years in the wilderness in humility. What a wonderful lesson. And he said of Moses, he was the meekest man in all the earth. It took 40 years to bring him to that point of humility. And with Abraham now, it's wonderful. I think I'll read you this. It's so beautiful. At the 22nd chapter. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom you love. It'd been easier to have Ishmael, wouldn't it? Much easier to have offered Ishmael. He was a scallywag, Ishmael was. Always making faces at Isaac and that kind of thing. There was always trouble. It'd been easier to take Ishmael. But take Isaac, the one you love. The one who's going to be the seed. And offer him for a burnt offering upon a mountain, one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up late in the morning. No, early in the morning. He's going to make a good start. His mind was made up. But he had 3 days to weigh it up. And he rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and took the wood, and all these things for the fire. And then on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the mountain afar off. That was the mountain where he was to offer Isaac. Just a special spot. So he went, and he bound the lad, and raised the knife. And we understand at this time, Isaac wasn't a little stripling. He was quite a young boy. Perhaps about 17 years of age. He could have overpowered the old man, but he too had been brought up the right way. He had faith in God. And Abraham offered him. And as we said before, when he raised the knife to come down, the angel grabbed his arm. Now, he saw a ram. And he was told to take that ram and offer it as a burnt offering. That ram did not represent Isaac. Because it was a burnt offering. That ram represents God's acceptance of Abraham's knife killing Isaac. In God's sight, and I believe in your sight and mine too, as we see this act, Abraham offered his son. Now that ram was a burnt offering to show God had accepted Abraham's act as real, as the real thing. So we know the rest of the story. It'd be nice to use some time to read it in the 24th chapter of Genesis. Now I'm going to speculate a little about Sarah. If you'd have been Sarah, what would you have been doing these 6 days? If you've thought about poor Sarah, she had a hand in this. She knew it was take 3 days journey and 3 days back. She'd never expect to see Isaac back again. So we can just imagine towards the evening of the 6th day, Sarah would be going looking at the horizon for Abram to come back to comfort her. One evening when she went, she saw the ass coming. And as he got nearer and nearer, she could hardly believe her eyes. There was Isaac. Her son Isaac. Coming back, as it were, from the dead. Can we imagine what happened when Isaac came up close? How he'd run to meet his mother. That wonderful reunion. Yes, dear friends, Sarah, like Abraham, is going to be one of those wonderful ancient worthies. She's going to teach the world of mankind. They have the faith class like you and I. Brother Charlie Chambers this morning spoke of the tabernacle and the chart of the ages. And he said we should figure ourselves in these. Where do you fit in the tabernacle? Where do you fit in God's plan? Where do we fit? What are we doing in God's plan? We've made a solemn covenant of sacrifice. And there's a place for us in God's plan. Just like there was for dear Sarah. When she's coming, she will come back with Abraham and Isaac. They're the faith class, just under the same covenant as you and I. The grace covenant. That is why we could say, dear friends, for a surety, that ram you might have thought represents or took the place of Isaac, but he did not. It was a burnt offering. And the burnt offering shows God's acceptance of what Abraham had done, the sacrifice that's gone before. Abraham, he had graduated. I'm just going to read you, as I think this time, those few words, what our Lord said to Abraham at the finish. Of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram. And Abram said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. Be seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That this is the burnt offering. And that was the offering. And with this, dear friends, we see Abraham graduated. We do not know what test the Lord have put on you and I yet. It'll be a test of faith. And our admonition is, have faith in God and His promises. He'll make all things plain and clear in due time. Soon the faith age will be ended. And then it'll be a matter of work. These ancient worthies, as we said before, it was all counted to them according to their faith. Their justification will come through their faith in God and His promises. And they hadn't got the scriptures that you and I have, the Old and New Testament, many of them hadn't. At this time there was no scriptures. So dear friends, God is merciful. He gives us time. He gives us time to sit down and count the cost. In every case, I've noticed this. Do you know our Lord, when he found out that he had to be, he should be baptized by John the Baptist, it took him 3 days' journey to go to John? That wasn't easy for our Lord to be baptized with John, by John the Baptist. John the Baptist was baptizing sinners. That's why John demurred when our Lord came. Passing here that 3 days' walk to go to John. He was a perfect man. But he found out, some way we don't know, that John had to baptize him. He was numbered with the transgressors at his baptism. He was numbered with the transgressors when he was crucified, with a thief on each side. So, dear friends, we can, I think, take a wonderful lesson from God's dealing with these wonderful ancient worthies. The Apostle Paul said there are a cloud of witnesses to us, and they should be helpful to us. So, dear friends, I hope you'll take a lesson and see where you fit in God's plan, wherever it is, where you fit in this story. Whether you're a mother or a father or what. I've never been a father, but I always wanted to be. But I've had many children. I had one little boy from 3 weeks old until he was 8 years. And the Lord took him from me. It was the biggest blow I ever had in my life. But now I thank the Lord. Was putting too much time and attention on that little fellow. He was a good little fellow too, better than I was when I was a kid. So the Lord sees your heart and mine. I often tell some of the friends, if I'd had a family, I would never come in the truth. Oh, I'd be so absorbed with those children. And then many a night have I paced the floor with that little boy, as a baby, crying, cutting his teeth and that. So I believe I had the father's feelings. But I would have spoiled them. I was spoiled too. Now, dear friends, we see where we fit in God's plan. And I think we can take a wonderful lesson from the father of the faith. May God bless you.
Thank you, Brother King. We appreciate this very wonderful lesson again. Turning to Genesis, there is hope. Abraham was about 99 when he had his first son, so... But that was a miracle, of course. We are glad for the foundation that has been laid and this wonderful basic promise that centers around this wonderful man of faith. And we appreciate, likewise, by comparison, your own faith, as you have been an example to us, and we all appreciate this very much. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. This is the hymn Brother would like us to close with, remembering what he has told us about this wonderful man of God, and centered in him is that glorious promise that he and his seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now we'll recess for to 3 o'clock. We have a 15-minute intermission here till 3, and then we will have a testimony meeting, and Brother Nick Clinic will conduct this for us from Duncan. Now that's short. It's the only one, so there shouldn't be any wasted time. Do your part. Not too lengthy testimonies will be considered in love to all, and we can hear as many as possible, because we are anxious to hear from all of you. And some of you from out of town, we appreciate very much hearing from you. So let's sing number 93, Rise at the Last Verse, please, number 5. closing prayer, please.
Now, dear Holy Father, we want to give thee thanks and praise for thy leading and thy guidance and thy care over thy people. We thank thee for the noble examples written aforetime for our admonition. May we profit by them. Bless each dear heart now bowed in thy presence. Bless and guide us still, dear Father, till thy kingdom shall come. Till we shall hear that sweet well done, as Abraham did. Dear Father, we want to be faithful to the end and honor thee. Guide us to this end for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother King. Please remind me again.